Real Estate Coaching Radio, America's number one trusted resource for realtors who demand authentic, real-time coaching. Starring award-winning real estate coaches Tim and Julie Harris. Get ready for unfiltered, full-strength honesty about what is truly working to get you into action and make you money in this new real estate boom. Now to our hosts, Tim and Julie Harris. We're joined today by Eric Reed, the co-founder of the Renaissance Realty Group, a progressive brokerage in Georgia that became a local market leader during the real estate market crash by specializing in REO and short sale properties, and once again leads the local market with a shift towards traditional and international properties. Eric joins us to discuss his success in the real estate industry and the role that coaching and training has had in helping him stay focused, inspired, and have a highly successful, top-producing broker agent career. Now, let's welcome Eric to the call as we join our host, Tim Harris.
So thank you, Mr. Producer. And Eric Reed, thank you for being my co-host today for today's radio show. So everyone, we just touched on it in the intro, but what we didn't touch on is the fact that Eric's been a longtime coaching client, and he's also quickly becoming one of the favorite coaches here at Tim and Julie Harris Real Estate Coaching. So Eric, welcome to today's radio show.
Hey, thanks, Tim. It's great being here with you.
So let's just jump right in. I mean, I think you've been involved with us for six, 7 years, something like that, correct?
Yeah, I was trying to figure it out this morning, and it seems like it's been forever, but at least 6 years, maybe seven.
And our paths originally crossed because we were back in the, when the market exploded, we were the first in the marketplace to start teaching agents how to do, all this distress stuff, and that's where we originally met. But you were in real estate as a successful agent even prior to the market crash, and then you were able to successfully pivot and take advantage of the opportunities that the distress space offered, and now you've successfully pivoted back towards focusing on normal real estate, normal retail type clients. Has that mindset of having to shift from one type of market to another, has that been a challenge for you?
Yes and no. It's always difficult to make a change when you don't know the course you should go. And then the yes part is really, like I said, we've been together as coaches, or you've been my coach, or Julie's been my coach for well over 6 years. And because you guys are so involved with our coaches, other industry leaders, inside and outside real estate, you sort of see the roadmap ahead. And you've always brought that back to us and said, hey, this is where we think the market's going. So it's not an abrupt shift. We get to grow into the trending market. Whereas I've seen other agents like wake up one day and it's like, what is an REO? Where did these come from? What do I do? And I'm like, I've been dealing with it for 6 months to a year, and I'm already settled in and moving forward. So shifting can be difficult if you don't have the right coach to guide you into this shift.
Yeah, it's funny. I don't want to obviously talk about short sales or REOs, but I'm just remembering back to when we first originally introduced the real estate market. There was nobody else that was teaching agents how to do short sales. And Julie and I had learned how to do short sales because we had to when we sold real estate in Columbus, Ohio. And what a lot of agents don't realize is that short sales and REOs and distressed property in general has been a mainstay of most normal housing markets like forever. So we had to learn it back when we were selling, homes in Columbus. And then when the market started to crash, now this was ancient history for many of you. I realize that many of you weren't even in the real estate business back in 07, because essentially like 90% of all the industry turns over about every 5 years. But for those of you who were, you guys remember how the market just felt like it came to a complete halt. I remember very well. I actually remember, the day almost where it was September of 2007. Now everyone says the crash started in 08, but not from a real estate agent's perspective, because that's when they started losing their pendings. And that's when Julie and I decided to dust off really and focus and drill down on teaching agents how to do short sales, because we saw that opportunity coming. And the same thing happened with all the other things we introduced to the real estate industry since then. But, Eric, right now, clearly the market is shifting back towards a more normal market. But with your coaching students, what I guess it's important that folks understand is not in every market's the same. So how do you help coaching students understand what their market dynamics are so they can clearly see where the opportunities are? Because in some markets, it might still be distressed, right?
Well, Exactly. And I think what I offer and what I've learned from you and Julie is get out of my box. You know, the agents in my office are going to do what the agents in my office are going to do. But when I look at a national agent network or listen to outside influences, then I get to say, oh, you know, California is doing this, Ohio is doing that. I noticed that this is happening, and I look for those warning signs in my market or in my client's market. And I'm like, you know, we might want to look ahead because Georgia, for instance, we have one of the shortest foreclosure processes out there. So we were going through it quickly, whereas my Minnesota friends could take a year. And I'm like, well, let me tell you what's going to happen. Or my clients out east, I could say, this is what the process looks like on a short scale. So we just need to add months, days, and weeks to what you're doing so that your pipeline stays full.
And at the same time, you know, clients out in LA where the markets have recovered, or certain parts of New York or most of the country, really, where it's back to where people, even the folks that were desperately underwater, they're real close to being near underwater, you know, in essence, they have enough equity. Some of them have enough equity to sell cover their selling costs. You know, in markets like that, guys, this goes back to the point Eric just made. If you're not really focused on where the market's headed, if you're just focused on where exactly it is, you're going to miss the next turn in the road. And that turn in the road could be the one that basically, if you took the wrong branch, is going to end up you falling off a cliff. And unfortunately, that's what happened with so many of the real estate agents in the country. They just were completely taken by surprise when the market crashed, and they're in denial about it. You know, Eric, I think, you know, I remember you and I were talking about this, you know, years ago, that some agents, they're not in denial for like a week or a month. They're in denial for years and years and years. So
yeah,
I
have to laugh, yeah, because I remember my first short sale, I walked up to my broker and I said, I've got a coach and they said I should be doing a short sale. Can you help me? My broker was like, I don't know what you're talking about. I was like, it's a short sale, blah, blah, blah. And I had to educate them. Well, pretty soon everybody in my office said, well, I've got this one short sale. Could you handle it for me? Because I really, it's not my department. It's not my thing. And pretty soon, 6 months later, it's not my thing. And I kind of looked at them like, okay, when is it going to become your thing? Because this isn't going to go away anytime soon. And then the same thing happened with REOs. And then I transitioned to investors. Well, what I've noticed now is my investor properties are now 3 to 5 years old, and they've taken all the paper money out of it that they can. So now they're working with agents on selling those. And handling an investment sale versus a traditional sale is completely different. I saw a lot of foreign buyers coming into our market because of the opportunities. So being able to track that, and in my office I hear people say, well, you know, I don't know how to work with a foreign buyer. Would you take it? Well, sure, but wouldn't you rather be coached on how to do it? So a year from now, you're still working with foreign buyers and making money as opposed to having to take a part-time job?
Well, so, Eric, why is it that it's so difficult? Maybe, you know, we'll just focus on agents since that's the 100,000-plus listeners that we have on a regular basis that listen to this radio show. But why is it so hard for folks to, I don't even know if the word see, but accept the change, right? I think it's obvious sometimes that there's change happening. There's change happening now. Depending on your perspective, the change could be good or bad, right? So if your view on the world is that you can only be successful in a distressed market, well, the change that's happening now is probably causing you to be in denial, like the agents that were in denial, you know, 7, 8 years ago when the market crashed, thinking, well, okay, I'm going to, you know, hold out and have my view of the world, and eventually the world will come back to the way I see it. Well, I mean, there's agents now who are in markets where the distress is going away. And they're, well, I'm going to hold out for the distress. I'm going to still dig my heels in, same dysfunctional mindset. Oh, Eric, why is it that agents act like that?
You know, what is it? Fear is false evidence appearing real. I think as agents, sometimes we're afraid to either learn a new skill, or nobody's coached us how to be successful in that new skill. So we say, well, you know, this worked for me in the past, and if I can just keep drilling on this, it'll come back, it'll come back. You know, as professionals, we need to be updating our skills all the time, like all the time. And that's why I love coaching. It's because you and Julie have told me, you know, Eric, you need to start doing this. You need to be doing that. And you give me the confidence to try something, and it reduces my fears, and it brings me into success. So I think a lot of times agents get paralyzed of change because they just don't have the tools in their hand to navigate the change. So they just hang on to what worked in the past and pray it will work again. And the reality is it's changing every day. So you better be changing with it or find something else to do.
So I've never asked you this question before, and I haven't prepared you for this question. I'm sort of curious how you'll answer it, considering you're one of our coaches. Is everybody coachable?
Whew. Everybody is coachable. It just sometimes takes a little while for me to find their big why. And we all have a purpose for getting up in the morning. And as long as you're clearly in touch with that purpose, then you'll do anything that you can to live within that purpose. And that's where the role of a coach comes in, is to help you identify that purpose and then give you the tools to live within that purpose.
What is the word like complacency? Because this conversation is all within the same kind of wheelhouse, right? So a lot of agents will find themselves not wanting to upgrade their skills, not wanting to upgrade. I mean, it's not just upgrading your skills, guys. It's friggin' everything. In a market like this, where you're at the very beginning stages of what's going to be a 7 to 10 year real estate boom, everything should be upgraded. I mean, everything. Your house, your cars, your clothes, your hairstyle, your physical fitness routine, where you live, everything. And as Eric said, you just start ingesting as much information as that's motivational, that's educational, because this is going to be, assuming your mindset is in the right place, the best 7 to 10 year run of probably your entire working lives. And I don't care how old you are. If you're somebody listening right now and you're just basically new in real estate and you're in your 20s or your 30s, well, yeah, you might have a longer horizon than, say, coaching clients that are, say, in their 50s or 60s. But for the most part, your opportunity to help folks and make money right now has never been better and may not ever be better again. So if you find yourself struggling with the idea that you need to adapt to this marketplace, and, you know, it's kind of funny as I think, there's listeners out there. Most of the folks listening, I think, get it. That's the reason they listen to us on a regular basis. But there's some people out there right now that are saying to themselves, Eric, I got it all figured out. I don't need a coach. I don't need any outside influences. I got my little widgets and they work. Why is that scarily dangerous thinking?
Oh, because once you have it figured out, that means everybody else does too.
Yep.
And
that's a good answer.
What your value to the market has just become equal to everybody else. So in mathematical thinking, your value is zero because there's nothing unique. And I'm not saying it has to be the lighted sign that dances when cars go by. Now,
hey, I like those signs. Those things are great.
Okay. Mine all got ripped off during the ice storm last week. But I think people were using them for indoor lighting. But what I will say is in today's market and in today's world, there's a great book that I read, but it discusses that knowledge is one of the last commodities that's really uniquely ours to own and to transfer. So the more knowledge and experience that I have as a realtor, the greater value I am to everybody else. Because anybody can go online and buy the dancing lighted sign, but not everybody can sit down face-to-face with a seller or a buyer and explain the current market conditions and days on market, the average sale price, closing conditions, how to resolve issues with inspections. Have a tool belt full of people that I can call and say, I can get that fixed. Let's go ahead and move forward. Don't worry about that. My guy's on it. We'll be closing on time. And that's the unique value proposition that I bring to my clients when I'm out buying and selling on their behalf. And that's what I want our agents to be able to say is, not only do I have the skills from my coaching, but I know how to utilize those skills to get you the very best deal possible. And
well,
if you want to buy that dancing sign, I can get you that too.
So what I'm hearing you say, and it's interesting, I talked about this on the radio the other day, and I'll ask it in a question format. What's the difference between training and coaching? And the reason that this is a very important question is because there are so many people out there that are doing training. Amy Stair, actually, in the interview, she did a great explanation of this. I mean, she was on a radio show. You guys should go back and listen to Amy's interview. So anyway, the difference between training and coaching is huge. And most of the folks that are saying they're offering offering coaching, or all they're doing is really training. So I listened to Eric's explanation. Again, another question he wasn't prepared for. He and I only had 6 talking points. I think we only talked on one. So Eric, what's the difference? What's the difference between, you know me well enough to know I wasn't going to stick to the outline. So what's the difference? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's right. She always sticks to the agenda, doesn't she? What's the difference between training and coaching?
I think the training sort of like that McDonald's cook. You take the patty, you put it on top of the bun, 2 squirts of ketchup, 2 pickles, 2 lettuce atop, wrap it and hand it to the guy. And sometimes in real estate coaching, you get training. Here's a listing presentation. You slide in this number, you slide out that number, you bind it, you walk in, and you do this presentation. Whereas coaching is sort of taking you from that line cook to that chef. Yes, we give you the basic skills, talents, and tools to make the burger, but we also show you how to make it an experience not only for you as a student, but for your clients. And when I walk in and I sit down with my clients in real estate, they've already seen the security lock locks and the dancing sign and the 800 numbers. But when they see it for me, it feels and tastes different. So those that have been coached have learned how to create a 360 experience of knowledge and understanding what their coach is or what their clients are saying, how to handle objections without being scripted. It's really taking it to that master chef level as opposed to being that line agent, you know, food production, McDonald's minimum wage worker, cook.
Well, you said without being scripted, but I think what you really meant was, yes, be scripted, but don't just memorize somebody else's words that are usually 30 or 40 years old, you know. You internalize the script and then you personalize the script, and I hope everyone's understanding that. A lot of you guys have struggled in the past. I mean, Eric, that's a huge point, though, because so many people have been through some form of training, either, you know, in their office or even paid for it, and it hasn't been successful, and they've been, you know, kind of, they're carrying around this Damoclean sword, you know, they feel like failures because they weren't able to do X. Well, it's because you guys were being asked to say words that weren't your own. They never felt comfortable with you, and oftentimes the vernacular of those scripts is like literally it's decades out of date or just not appropriate for your marketplace. So what a script is really, and how we suggest that you use our scripts, is you obviously, I want you to internalize them, I want you to understand the patterns of them, and then I want you to personalize them, right? Add your own secret sauce, getting back to Eric's hamburger analogy, so that they actually become your own. Memorizing something where it's not yours, that works for such a small percent of the population of coaching clients where they just memorize it exactly. You know, it's just not even, it's not, that's your training thing. And I love what Eric said also about, you know, it's in a collaborative approach, whereas training, you know, coaching is a collaborative approach, and not everybody has the same exact experience. That's kind of the thing that's interesting. Everyone always asks, well, what will my experience be like? Well, I don't know until I get to know you. But Eric, you know, that's a kind of a good opportunity for us to pivot. How do you go about understanding what path to take folks down? Because some agents are going to want to do over-the-phone prospecting. Other agents are going to sooner want to hang themselves upside down by their toenails than do over-the-phone prospecting. So how do you figure out the right path to take a new coaching client down?
It's a balanced diet approach. Everybody has a skill set or talent within them. Some people are really good with buyers because they have that connection that they have to be in the car. They have to, you know, be that close. But when they are, they can really fire on all cylinders and they're in their sweet spot. Other people, if you do the DISC profile, love to have a list of tasks that they can just get up in the morning and call their 40 numbers and pump it out. The successful agents have to know how to combine all the tools. I prospect still every day. I get on the phone. I do traditional expired, for sale by owners, sphere of influence, lead follow-up. But I also have a natural ability to meet with my investors over lunch and say, tell me what you're looking for. What does that look like? Okay, let me go out and find that and network with a large team of agents and say, bring me this deal. And I don't even represent the buyer or the seller. I just get paid a finder's fee out of the middle because I have that negotiating ability. So when I'm working with a client, I always tell them we've got to stick to the basics. You've got to do what it's going to take to stay in business because those things will never change. Now, how we do them and what format fits you to be authentically you and to be at your highest service to your clients, that's part of what I'm going to help you with too as a coach, is to build that up. But don't think if you say, I don't like getting on the phone, I'm going to say, oh, you never have to prospect. Because the answer is going to be you have to prospect. We just have to find a way that fits you naturally, because that's
right.
What your future clients will respond to.
That's right. Beautifully said. And you know, guys, longtime students, what he was describing is the spokes on the wheel concept. You know, the more spokes you have on your bicycle wheel, just to kind of finish the analogy, the stronger the wheel will be. And so what we're going to do is we're going to look for the spokes that are the best fit for you first. And, you know, oftentimes they're the same spokes for everyone, but you'll occasionally find, I mean, I had one of my clients this morning. I had a really interesting exchange with this guy. I hadn't had him as a client for very long. Eric, he actually might be a great candidate for me to transfer to you. Remind me after today's call and I'll do that. But he was getting all of his business, and listeners, this is a killer idea, so make sure you're paying attention. He was getting, no exaggeration, 50 listing leads, Eric. And these are motivated seller listing leads, and he's getting from the home investors, the We Buy Ugly Houses, those guys that were buying those licensed areas for the discount homes, and the leads that those guys were turning down because the sellers didn't want to wholesale the houses to them, in essence. Well, he's getting those leads, and he's then calling those sellers back and say, hey, listen, so, you know, here's your plan B. Let's get the house listed. So that is a killer way. And now, will he ever have to go off and start doing more traditional prospecting? Depends on what his financial goals are, but I mean, maybe, maybe not. Let's see how effective he is at converting those leads to listings. So, Eric, what is coaching? Because you're kind of an interesting, you know, you've been coached for a long time by us. I know you've been involved in other coaching organizations as well. But what is coaching meant to you, and what does it mean to you now as a coach?
Oof, we could end up in church over that question. I see coaching as the guardrails in my life, sort of driving down the highway. They set the parameters on my behavior and my goals and expectations. When we all sat down after our real estate license, oh, I'm going to kill it. I'm going to make X number of dollars a year and do this and do that, and I'll be on the stage and get all the plaques. But nobody sat down and said, okay, this is how you do it. And so the nice part is when I started as one of your students, you sort of brought those guardrails in really close and said, these are the basic things I need you to get under control. And when I see you managing it and being successful at that and turning in consistent success, I'm going to open them up a little and we're going to let you drop the throttle. And Tim's a car head, so he's loving this. And
I am, yeah. You know, I'm listening. You have my attention.
And as I got better and more things came on the market, there were exits available for me to, you know, take a little detour and go see what short sales are about, or what REOs are about, or investors are about, or foreign markets about. But when I didn't prove myself on those back twisty, windy roads, my coach was really quick to get me back on the highway, get me back down between those guardrails and say, you need to focus. Because my coach and what I do with my clients is I see farther and further ahead than they do. And I say, you know, I can see where this is going. And if we don't come back here and get this back under control, your business is going to tailspin. You're going to end up with unreturned leads, which will end up, you know, you can, because I work with so many people and I've been working in the market at such a high level, I can sort of, I don't want to say predict because everybody's an individual, but a good also says, wait a minute, let's check ourselves before we drop it into fourth. Seatbelts on, helmets go, let's take off. So that's what coaching has always been, a baseline for me. And because of that, I've also been able to live a life beyond what I thought I could when I first started in real estate, because I didn't go flying off the rails and having to, you know, crash my business and go become a greeter at Walmart.
Well, so talk about that. I mean, what would be, for example, as you're, you know, you and I are talking about this a little bit before today's radio show, but what would be the three or four core things that you took, and be mindful of the time, so maybe just one or two core things that you still carry that are very important from you that you learned from coaching, but also that you're going to certainly introduce to all your coaching clients?
Well, if you're my client, one of the first questions, and it may take us several calls to get through, is understanding your big why. And if you come back with payoff credit card debt, it's not deep enough. What would that feel like? What would that be like? What would that offer you is going to be a follow-up question. So when I started mine, it took me about a month to come down to my true big why, and it was to be of service to others at the highest point possible. And service was chosen because it didn't rely on money, but it could be money, tools, talents, connections, and resources. And it wasn't only about real estate that I worked with foster families as well and foster kids and my community. So I wanted to be of service not only to clients, but my community as well. As my real estate business grew, I was able to help more foster families, and we were able to take in more foster children, and I was able to manage my schedule better and be more available to the kids in need, which ended up resulting in me sitting at my desk one day and getting an email saying if I was free in 10 minutes, there was kids in crisis and they needed an immediate placement. My career in real estate was solid enough that I wasn't worried about taking my hands off the wheel for half a day. And those two children have now been adopted by us some 4 years later. They're 5 and 4 today. And I laughed
today?
The other day.
Not, well,
no,
today.
Not today.
Yeah, this year. Yeah.
She'll turn okay. 6 next month, which he reminds me very often. and he, the other day, said, we need to get a third house. And I said, honey, what? And he said, well, I'm going to be at the beach, too. I like our regular house, and I like our mountain house, which is just a small little mountain cabin near family. But we need one near the beach so we can go there, too. And I thought, does he not realize where he started? A kid abandoned in a hospital room in foster care with no possibilities is now trying to convince his dad to get a third house. And it won't be anything glorious. But the fact that I could actually consider that option goes all the way back to my coaching that really said, well, why couldn't you? All we have to do is figure out your skill set, make sure we stay tuned to it, and produce it the highest value possible. And why wouldn't you have a third house? If he asks for a fourth house, we're going to have a problem.
Well, but, I mean, as Julie would say, you need a city house. You know, you do need a beach house, so your son's right. And you should have a mountain house. I mean, so technically he's right. You need to be able to change it up every year and go to, I mean, but it is, this is the whole big, like, you said something, it's the big why kind of thing. Now, that's one of those concepts that some people feel overwhelmed by. But here's, Eric kind of tied it in. I just want to make sure you guys heard what he said. So it's not just paying off credit cards. Everyone starts out with goals, for example. Pay off credit cards, right, to use this example. Well, that in itself, not very inspirational. But pay off credit cards because when I do it, this is what it'll, how it'll affect my life. And then if you actually start feeling the emotions, if you actually literally start allowing yourself to feel how it would feel to have that particular goal accomplished, then all of a sudden it just goes from this impersonal thing written on your business plan, right, to something that you actually are emotionally involved with. And then the probability of you not accomplishing that goal when you say you're going to accomplish it by is about zero. So the reason that most people start out by doing business plans, you know, they'll have the typical one-page business plan, which is really kind of meaningless. And then sure enough, it goes in the desk and sure enough, gets forgotten about. The reason that we developed our very elaborate, you know, real estate treasure map business plan, which that's one of the first things that all new coaching clients get involved in, is because it does take you through the process of really defining what it is that you are really driven by and then making sure that's what you're really driven by. Some people, we have a lot of coaching clients that join us that are multi-millionaires. They have no financial worries. They have no anything financial to ever worry about. Literally, their family and their generations to come are all squared away. So what's really motivating them? And for those people, it might be, you know, like what's motivating Eric, to give back, to build a legacy that goes beyond just your immediate families and your grandchildren's needs. So there's all kinds of things. But the beauty of it is that in this industry, we can kind of create whatever we want to. It's the best opportunity now, but also real estate as an industry, as an entrepreneur, as a business opportunity, it is and probably always will be one of the best, easiest things you can get into. No real cost of overhead. There's no inventory to pay for. You make margins and somebody else is paying for the inventory. There's no other business like that. You know, guys, we obviously, Eric and I could talk on forever, but Eric, I'll let you wrap. You obviously, you know, you're, again, thank you for being a great coach for us. Thank you for being a great long-term coaching client. Thank you for your time on the radio show today. Anything else you'd like to say to these folks as we round out today's show?
Wow. You know, what I will say as your coach is Tim and Julie both have taught me this by example. when I am on the call with you, I want to be at the highest service possible, and I will bring 100% of my game. And that's what I expect in return. And sometimes, you know, those of you that have been on a Tim call realize it might get a little rough, but that's because I see what's on the other side. And Tim had to get a little rough with me sometimes. And now in hindsight, I was like, oh, one, that was a piece of cake. And I'm so grateful that he did, because it pushed me up and over the hill to get to where I'm at now. And I'm actually thinking about a third house, as opposed to telling myself, oh, that'll never happen. It can't happen. I know it can. I just have to figure out the how now. And so that's what my job is for my clients. And that's what Tim and Julie have always done for me, is never say it can't. Just how do you want to accomplish it, and how can I help you do it?
So thank you, Eric. I really appreciate that. So here's what all of you should be doing now. If you're not already involved in one of our coaching programs and you are considering hiring a coach, which should be all of you, go to freecoachingcallsforagents.com, freecoachingcallsforagents.com, and request a free coaching call with one of our coaches. We literally have 7 coaches that are doing these calls for agents every day. So we'll give you essentially it's a mini version of the business plan, go through all your numbers, identify what your easiest opportunities are, and then make it help you set a course of action for the next 12 months and beyond. So freecoachingcallsforagents.com. Hey, in case you didn't catch it, it's free. So go to freecoachingcallsforagents.com. Eric, I actually have to get to a group call, and I really appreciate your time on the radio today, and thank you for being a great coach. Thank you for being a great longtime friend of Julie and I's. Listeners, we'll talk with you on the radio tomorrow.
All right. Thank you, guys. Have a good day.
This program has been a presentation by Tim and Julie Harris, Real Estate Coaching. For more information on our real estate coaching and training programs, visit our website at timandjulieharris.com. Remember to tune in weekdays at noon for upcoming shows. And until next time, thank you for listening to Real Estate Coaching Radio with Tim and Julie Harris.